Didn't they do a wonderful job? We're very blessed in this church. How many of you are new, that this is your first time here? Can you raise your hand? Wow, awesome, yeah. Well, my name is Meef, and my husband is one of the pastors here, and we love women's ministry in this church. Yeah, woo, amen. And I just want to say welcome back. We're glad you're here. Last week, I don't know about you, but last week was a little bit hard for me. I love Charlie Kirk. That was tough, you know? And so Wednesday, I was just like, Lord, really? And I can understand the Lord wanting Charlie. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so for a couple nights, I didn't cry. I just was like, I was just mad. And I was like, I'm just going to preach it even more. You know, I'm going to be Charlie Kirk, darn it. You know, I'm not going to be afraid, right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was so young and he had such a heart for the Lord and for the gospel and for the next generation. And so God bless Charlie's family. We here at Calvary Santee, what am I saying? Maranatha. I was there too. We love women's ministry and we love women. And every now and then I'll get a letter in the mail or an email or something, just women saying how they were blessed. And I just thought to start our year off this year, I would read you a little portion of one of those letters. This came from a beautiful single mom who was broken and just needing to be healed and needing God's love. She says this: no matter what I go through in my walk outside, I step through those doors at church and breathe a sigh of relief, like, whew, I'm here, I made it, everything is going to be okay. My world right now consists of confusing people and letting them down with my new life choices, shaking things and people off and moving forward, letting what is necessary go. That when I walk into church and the frowns I'm used to seeing, they turn into smiles. And the confused who are you turns into hugs. And it's good to see you. Thank you for being faithful and for being real and truthful. I have never experienced anything more beautiful than what God has done in my life and in where he has led me to learn, grow, and fellowship with this wonderful new family. Isn't that beautiful? I get letters like that all the time. And the healings that God has done in the women in this room. I mean, we ought to write a book. You know, I ought to just pass it around, let everybody tell their story. So we're going to start a new book tonight, the book of Proverbs. I have wanted to do this book for a very, very long time. And as I was studying, I've been reading it since January, just reading and reading Proverbs every day. Proverbs 1:23 really stood out to me, and it says this: turn to my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. And so as we study Proverbs this year, that's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on us in this room, and he will make his words known to us. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Proverbs 12:27, and one of the things we didn't cover, and I did my best with the writing of the homework, was in the Bible it talks about the diligent person and the lazy person. You girls are in the diligent category because you came here tonight. But Proverbs 12:27 says, the precious possession of a woman is diligence. And Psalm 13:15 says, the way of the treacherous is really hard. But Proverbs 11:27 says, she that diligently seeks good receives favor. And so as you come here each week, as you do your homework, as you get to know the girls at your table, you're seeking good, and God's favor is going to be upon you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each one of these women in this room. Lord Jesus, you know how hard it was for her to get here. Maybe it was kids or the job or just the stress of life, Lord. And so I thank you that she's here. And I trust you. Jesus, we welcome you here. Be the honored guest at our table. We welcome you here, Holy Spirit. Teach us. Be alive in this room and in our hearts this year as we study the book of Proverbs. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs is one of the most, probably the most corrective book of the Bible. It provides practical guidance for godly living, moral behavior, and wise decision making. I pray that you fully understand, and we've been teaching, I mean, if you've been here for a while, we've been here 15 years, my husband and I, you've been taught the Gospels, you've taught John and Matthew, you've been taught Hebrews, Romans, we've taken you through all these books, and so I pray that you understand that you are saved by grace. Do you know that? Yes, amen. You are saved by grace. There is none perfect, no, not one. And for grace, we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And you need to know that before you tackle a tough book like Proverbs, because Proverbs is pretty corrective. But as Christians, we are predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ. So as we study this book, that's what's going to happen to us this year. God is not interested in works or perfection, but he does want to cleanse us so that we can be filled with his love, his wisdom, and his mercy, and his compassion for others, and give us the abundant life that he promised. I don't want to read my Bible just for knowledge. I want to know the heart of God. I want to know how he thinks, so that I can obey him and my life can be blessed with his favor. As we travel through this book, we will see divine guidelines and wise observations. We are actually contemplating the mind of God, his character, his works, and his blessings. And I've wanted to do this book since 2001, when I was at Maranatha. That's why I was thinking about it. The Lord said to me, Meef, I want you to write and homework and teach the book of Proverbs. And it was plain as day to me. And then the Lord closed the door and I wasn't able to do it. And so I'm really excited that he's finally opened that door and that we're going to go through the book of Proverbs this year. My encouragement is take this year and use Proverbs as your daily reading. Just get drenched in it. You will be challenged to step up your game and become the woman God created you to be. You will enter in some deep dives concerning your character and choices. And character is actually built when we confront our own weaknesses. So we're going to get our eyes on Jesus, our eyes on God and his principles, and we're going to be confronting some weaknesses in our lives. The main theme of this book is wisdom and folly. And did you know, there's really only two kinds of people in the world, the wise man and the fool. That's right. The wise man is Psalm 14:16. The wise fear and turn away from evil. They don't dance with the devil. And the fool, Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So when you meet somebody, size them up. Is this a wise man? Should I be listening to him? Or is this a fool? And don't listen to fools. Since there are 31 chapters, you can read a chapter per day for 30 days each month. We've given you a journal, this little blue journal. Isn't that pretty? One of the girls this morning put little diamonds on the flowers. I was like, that was so cute what she did. We've given you a journal to take notes. As you travel through the chapter, write down what the Lord speaks to you specifically each day. And these wise sayings from Solomon will become a part of who you are. They'll be hidden in your heart and they'll come out of your mouth as you're raising your children, as you're talking to your friends. This was Mr. Mark. How many of you know Mr. Mark? Yeah, he just went to be with Jesus. He was the lucky one. He got to go first. Mr. Mark's claim to fame his whole life was that he read a chapter of Proverbs every morning before he went to work. And you know, when I was raising my kids, I would put 3x5 cards in the kitchen, on the counters, on the cabinets, and in the bathroom, on the mirrors. And I really wasn't putting them there for my kids. They were little. I was putting them there for me. But it became a part of who I was. And so these sayings just became a part of my family. One of the sayings that when my kids got too riled up, I would say, you know, the Bible says that when words are many, sin is not absent. You might need to calm down a bit. And that was from Proverbs. Another one, when they started to fight and argue with each other, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish one tears it down with her own hands. A gentle answer, oh, this is perfect. When they were arguing, I would go, you know, the Bible says, kids, that a gentle answer turns away wrath. So if you really want to get your point across, you need to speak gently to each other. Or pride goes before destruction. Or he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. That was one the Lord's had to give me many, many, many times, as I've thought I've known more than God, you know. And then the famous one. A lot of the high school kids in Christian schools have this one as when they're graduating. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You will be speaking the wisdom of God into your kids' lives. These are great one-liners to say over and over again to your children and in everyday conversation. And you're going to find hundreds more as we travel through this book this year. If Proverbs becomes a part of our dialogue this year, our world will change for the better. Our schools, our homes, our workplaces will be bringing God's word and God's truth into our everyday life. One of the most beautiful Proverbs that I think was ever written is, like apples of gold in settings of silver, so is a word spoken in the right circumstance. That God wants to use each one of us one-on-one with other people, and that he would give us those apples of gold in settings of silver for our friends and people that we love. So Solomon was the one who wrote this book. And if you have a Bible, you can turn to 1 Kings 4, 29 through 32. It says this, now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind, like the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, and his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that grows on the wall. He spoke also of animals and birds and creeping things and fish. Men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So this is what we're going to be studying this year. The wisest man that, apart from Jesus, that ever walked the face of the earth. We're going to read some of the things he wrote. Solomon was the main author of the book. And under Solomon's leadership, Israel was at its spiritual, political, and economic peak. Proverbs was probably written before his character began to decline into carnality, materialism, and idolatry. It's hard to fathom that such a wise man could be tempted and fall into such carnality the way he did. But I've seen that happen to unbelievable Christian pastors that I've loved listening to them teach the Bible. And I've watched as they've turned their back on the Lord and fallen into sin. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, take heed when you stand, lest you fall. That one day without Jesus is a bad day. We all need to be in the Word every single day, drawing from the Word and the Lord so that we can stand against evil. Proverbs pulls together the most important 513 of 3,000 Proverbs pondered by Solomon. He may not have written them all, but he is the one who compiled them together. The book of Proverbs is classified as wisdom literature. It is the most intensely practical book in the Old Testament. It teaches skillful living in all aspects of everyday life, how to relate to God, your parents, your children, your neighbors, and government. And the word Proverbs in Hebrew is the word marshal. It actually means to represent something in the place of many words. So it's almost like the cliff notes on how to live a good life. The key word in Proverbs is wisdom. Wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Proverbs provides practical application of godly wisdom to specific problems. Have you ever met anyone who was really, really, really intelligent, but didn't have any wisdom? Yeah, that's because wisdom comes from God. Yeah. And you know what? When you start, as we study this book of Proverbs, yeah, it is problems too. As we study the book of Proverbs, your emotions are going to take a back seat when you have wisdom. Often, we as women, we struggle with emotions. But when we walk in the Word of God, when we're studying Proverbs, we're going to have a wisdom that we've never had before. And Jordan Peterson says this: wisdom helps you to deal honorably with the tragedies of life. That when everybody else, when their dryer breaks, they're screaming and crying. But when your dryer breaks, you're going to say, no, I'm going to trust God through this. It's a topical collection of sayings rather than a historical book. And it's a very practical description of how life works. Tim Keller says this: Psalms are like ointment on inflamed skin to calm and to heal it. Proverbs would be more like smelling salts to startle you into alertness. So the Lord might startle you this year with some of the Proverbs that you're going to be reading. Proverbs are powerful little comparisons, brimming over with imagery, helping us understand that God is involved in the every detail of our life. They are simple moral statements that teach fundamental realities, giving wisdom to the knotty issues of life, the things that were not addressed in the law and the prophets. It deals with the everydayness of life, and it contains moral and ethical elements stressing upright living, which flows out of a right relationship with God. It's a gold mine of biblical theology on righteous living. I mean, there's so many. Most of you know that I moved out when I was 16, didn't really have any parents, raised myself, and got myself in all kinds of trouble before I came to Christ. And so when I came to Christ, Proverbs was probably my number one book. I just wanted to please the Lord. I just needed him to tell me straight, Lord, just give it to me. I know I'm a jerk. Just give it to me so that I can know what's the difference between right and wrong. One of the ones that he spoke to me very clearly on was, don't speak with a loud voice in the morning. I'm kind of hyper. I'm the talker in the family. Gary's kind of quiet. So when we first got married, I was so in love with that man. And I couldn't wait for him to wake up. I had lots of things I had to talk to him about. And so he came to me and he said, Meef, we need to be quiet in the morning. He's so cute. We need to be quiet in the morning. And we need to, both of us need to meet with Jesus and do our devotions. And then we'll meet with each other. He's so adorable. I love him. He corrected me so much when we were kids. And I'm so grateful for it. Okay, here's another one. I like to talk, so I like to be around my girlfriends. And the Lord told me, let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house. That's a good one too, right? And then watch out for wine. It bites like a serpent, stings like a viper or whatever. Be careful with wine. I have enough trouble with relationships when my mind is clear. I don't need to be drinking any wine. The Lord detests lying lips is one of the things that he showed me. Lazy hands makes for poverty. Don't hang out with hot-tempered people. That was a good one. And don't rejoice when your enemy fails. You know, with what happened last week with Charlie Kirk, I was rejoicing when they caught that guy, you know? But the Bible doesn't want us to be like that. And the Lord showed me that he's just a little kid, 22 years old. He's a fool. He needs Jesus Christ. And vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But I pray that little boy comes to Jesus. This book will address our ethical choices and call us to question how we think. It's real character building stuff. Proverbs 16:2 says, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but the Lord weighs the motives. Man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. So we may be doing some heart work this year. Pride can be the downfall of even the godliest of Christians. And James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word. We're all good at that. I mean, I got K-Love and K-Wave on my radio. I got it on my little frame thing in my kitchen. I'm always listening to the word all the time. But the Bible says, do not merely listen to the word. Do what it says. And so I have a feeling that this year the Lord's going to ask us to step up our game. Our problem is not in knowing, but in doing what we know. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, we're all the same. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with the Lord. You know, we all need to be changed into the image of Christ. It's easy to teach the Bible. It's hard to live it. It's easy to stand up here and teach the Bible to you guys and say, look at this great verse. Look at this great. Oh, isn't that a good one? And yeah, that's a good one. But taking it home and living it, that's hard. That's hard. We have tons of books written on marriage, and yet we see so many divorces. To know is not to obey. You can know it in your head and not do it. So we're going to be challenged this year to obey the Lord. And this is one of my favorite quotes. I have a quote packet about this thick that I, over the past 46 years, have put my very favorite ones. And because I am a talker, this is one I had to have over my desk for a while. Between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space lies our freedom and power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and happiness. Isn't that good? That we can be women that wait on the Lord, that we don't react, we respond, and we seek God for his wisdom first. Proverbs calls us to study, to think, to learn the practical discipline of centering all of our thoughts and actions on God, to bring him into the everydayness of life and make a difference in our world. One of the central messages of Proverbs is you've never really thought hard enough about anything. Need to think a little bit harder. It's poetic art that gives you wisdom as you wrestle with it. And you know, they say that the Bible is the only book that as you read it, it reads you. Isn't that true? It changes us. It speaks to us. It uses Hebrew parallelism. Two phrases or clauses or sentences are brought into close connection with each other so that they modify and expand on each other. It's like a one, because I'm a nurse, this is what it's like, way I think. It's like a one-day antibiotic that shocks your system and cleanses it. As you read it, you just go, oh, I get it now. It's just a great book. Proverbs brings a sharp comparison as it unites two thoughts mutually to clarify each other, deepening our understanding. And you know, most of you know that I was wild and crazy and, you know, moved out when I was 16, did my own thing, and then at 22, I came to Christ. And so when I came to Christ, I just wanted to learn the Bible. I don't know the Bible. I need God big time. And so I didn't know, and as I was reading through Proverbs, this is the proverb. I'm very honest. This is the problem that stood out to me the most when I first became a Christian. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Here I was, you know, smoking cigarettes on the break at Bible school. I was right off the streets, you know, I don't know. I'm bouncing around braless, and this is 70s, you know, in this Bible school where Gary was and Dan was. They remember well. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Ooh. Can you picture? I didn't have to try to memorize that. That proverb is with me forever. As a ring of gold in a pig's nose. Me, if you're being like that, you're not using any discretion. You're being disgusting. And so the Lord had to work on me and help me to grow in those things. Your greatest strength can become your greatest weakness if it's not governed by God. Bold women need to be tempered with tenderness and discretion. Timid women need to be challenged with courage and find their voice. So I pray this year that God will help us to become the other flip side of our coin. Proverbs helps us to refocus our attention on the hidden moments of our lives. You have heard about the meat of the word and the milk of the word. Well, Proverbs is kind of like the hard candy. You have to stay with it a while and let it dissolve. You have to learn to meditate on its wisdom to enjoy the full flavor of the experience. It's God's wisdom for living an effective life on earth. I've been keeping a notebook since January, and I'm reading through every day. So today's what? The 16th? So I read Proverbs 16 this morning. And in the notebook, I put all of our chapter titles. And so as I'm reading through Proverbs, any proverb that applies to that chapter title, I've got this notebook full of all of those. And I've had a blast doing that. I encourage you to do that. As you use your little journal that we gave you, that you'll use it for a devotional, and then if one line really stands out, rewrite it and ask the Lord to help you in whatever area he's trying to speak to you. Let's see where I am. The Bible, it's Proverbs, the main theme of this book, it's completely obvious, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To fear God, that's where wisdom comes from. And as we behold him, we become like him. You've heard me say that a million times. As we hold him up as the highest example and learn to depend on him in humble trust, we will discover his knowledge and his wisdom, and our lives will be brought under the authority and direction of God. That's a promise. God's will is practical and it applies to all of life, and he is definitely in the details. And Proverbs is going to get us into the details of life. So I just want to close with three things. A life lived by God's wisdom is full of joy. That's Proverbs 3:18. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all of those who hold her fast. As we hold on to wisdom, we're going to be filled with joy. A life lived by God's wisdom is secure. Proverbs 1:33. He who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Isn't that good? So number one, a life lived by God's wisdom is full of joy. Number two, a life lived by God's wisdom is secure, not afraid of the dread of evil. And number three, a life lived by God's wisdom doesn't just happen. You have to seek it. And that's what you're doing by attending this women's Bible study. Proverbs 28:5 says, those who seek the Lord understand all things. So as you are in the Word of God and you're putting your face in Proverbs this year, if hard times come or things that you don't understand, God's going to give you the wisdom to understand it. Proverbs 2:2-5 says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for wisdom, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. So that's what we're going to be doing this year. We're going to be crying for discernment and lifting our voices for understanding, seeking her wisdom as silver and searching for her as hidden treasure. Words hold immense power to influence our emotions and even alter our reality. As we spend time in God's word this year, our reality is going to change. They can be used to build up or tear down, to heal or to harm, to inspire or to discourage. The words found in Proverbs offer practical wisdom for navigating life, emphasizing the importance of humility, self-control, wise speech, and trusting in God's guidance. I do pray that this year, as we study this book, that we would become bold like Charlie Kirk, that we won't be afraid to speak God's words in the marketplace, that we will cast away fear and bring light and salt into every arena that God brings us into. So he said, "Turn to my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." Amen? And our theme verse for our women's ministry is, "Call upon the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder." And so that's what we're going to do this year. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, I do pray that you would make us bold in our faith, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that we wouldn't be afraid to share the good news with anybody and everybody that we come in contact with. Help us to stand and speak the truth and not be afraid. And Lord, I just pray now that you would build beautiful tables in this room, that sweet friendships that would last for years and years to come would form because of the faithfulness of these women. Bless them now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.